Comms Spire. Communicate to inspire. And today, in this episode, we have Vasant Agarwal, sir. Vasant Agarwal, the emotional intelligence author, speaker, and mind trainer. Vasant Agarwal is the director of Discover My Mind, a life skills platform, and the author of several books, including The Complete Guide to Emotional Intelligence, Parenting with Emotional Intelligence, The Accidental Addict, and The Power of Positive Thinking. He is a speaker at international conferences across India, a director in the Indian School Counselor Association, and a senior advisor to the International Training Federation. Presently, he is on a mission to help people utilize emotional intelligence as a means for academic successes and mental health. You can visit www.discovermymind.com to know more about him. At present, we are lucky to have him to share his views and values of life at our podcast channel, Comspire, Communicate to Inspire. So, Vasant sir, I welcome you wholeheartedly for our podcast channel, and I would request you to introduce yourself in your words first.
Thank you for having me. It's a privilege and a delight. And I want to say hello to all your viewers and all your audience. Today, emotional intelligence is becoming the most sought after topic because for so long we have neglected it. About myself, I've lived in America over 40 years. I've come back to India to give back to my country. And I was in Los Angeles, a senior consultant with Ernst & Young in their healthcare practice. After that, I got involved in solar energy and I set up the most modern solar manufacturing plant in California. This is in the 80s. After that, I got involved in electric vehicles. And all these things today, everybody's talking about and everybody's getting involved. This was 20 years ago. And my mother used to say to me, you always think of the future 20 years ahead. Why don't you think of today? And I just say to her, Amma, it's going to happen. This is my foresight. This is my vision. And sure enough, today, what is the talk? Electric vehicles. What is the talk? Solar. And to that extent, I want to share that about 5-6 years ago, I stumbled across the field of emotional intelligence. I didn't know anything about it. I'm not a PhD in psychiatry, but I do have a PhD in common sense.
Yeah.
Maybe that works. And then I started studying the subject and meeting people and talking to people and reading a lot and fast-track learning mode into the subject matter. And I then was invited to be a speaker in international conferences. And I wrote my first book at that time. And people applauded it and said, oh, wow, great, wonderful. But nobody did anything. The reason was that they didn't understand the subject matter. They didn't understand the value proposition. What is emotional intelligence? Why is it so important? Yeah. All they knew was IQ, marks, grades, maro, pito, you know, percentile now, you know, that. But that's all the school counselors knew. That's
right.
All parents knew. That's all everybody knew. And so I saw that happening and I said to myself, you know, a child can never be academically successful if he or she is not emotionally healthy.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, there's so much truth in that matter. You know,
so
why?
True.
Why is a child not achieving their potential?
Yeah. We'll come to that thing, sir, because our conversation will be more based on that only. But at first, I would like to talk about your education. You received your master's degree from University of California at Los Angeles and then ISC diploma from Cambridge University, England. I would request you to share a few experiences of yours as a student studying in England or California and student at our nation, India. So what are the differences in the educational qualities in the two countries?
First of all, the curriculum is very flexible. You can make your selection of what classes you wish to take. There are the main primary classes which you must take, and then there are secondary classes. In India, your curriculum is very fixed. It's predetermined. You have to take these classes. Mm-hmm. And have you no flexibility. In essence. Secondly, the curriculum itself has been designed, written dozens of years ago. It is not reflective of what is the educational needs of the student today. Right. All the books are written by authors or by academics many 20 years ago, some books, and they've not changed their content. Mm-hmm. It's still the same because it's the book that has been prescribed for years. So nobody wants to take the time to say, hey, look, maybe we need to find another set of books for instruction.
Right.
The grading system in the US and other parts of the world is on the curve, what is known as the curve system, whereas your grades are dependent on how the rest of the class has performed. In India, the grading system is percentile-based. It doesn't matter whether the rest of the class does whatever. If you got your 70% or 80% or 90%, then that's what it is. So there is no incentive for the student to really do better than the rest of the class. There, it is imperative. If you don't do as good or not or better than the rest of the class, you get failing grades.
Right.
And that's the big difference. When I went there, I said, oh my God, I have to do better than the rest of them. Not just how good I can or I will, but I have to do better than the rest. So that is a huge difference in incentive.
I guess that it has changed a little bit now. Now, like CBSE has started with that percentile thing in which it gives the grades based on that only.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they have changed the system. I guess recently it has come and they are giving the grades based on that.
Beautiful. It was needed.
So, yes, of course, it was really just to know that where do you stand? It's not like you have got 90% or something. Where are you standing? That is really very much important.
How relevant is that?
Yes, yes, sir.
Relationship to the rest of the class.
Yeah.
So you could have got 90, but you may be.
Right. So true. So that's why we say like syllabus has not yet changed. It has not been revised. It's the same thing that the students are reading what was taught 15 years back, 20 years back.
Yes. So how the world has changed.
Yeah.
And so our learning has to change.
I hope that educational persons who are working over there, they should look into the matter and do something. They are really working. It should be taken care of in better manner for the welfare of our students. So thank you so much for sharing such sort of insights, sir.
Sure, not at all.
Sir, you have worked as a senior management consultant with EY in Los Angeles. What is the best learning that you had in that experience?
So the one thing that was a tremendous learning experience is that you didn't have any time on the project. You could be auditing or on assignment with major corporations in America, Fortune 500 companies. And you were supposed to be the guru because they were paying very handsomely for your knowledge and for your experience. And B, there was not because of that, there was very little time. In 1 week, I had to solve the problem of a company like McDonnell Douglas, or some huge company with 50,000 employees. And you had to go in and be so quick and fast. And in fact, I remember in one of my interviews, you meet the president or the CEO of the company when you begin the assignment. They've identified a problem and you're supposed to come and solve that problem. Management problem or whatever it is, marketing, decision making. And the president, I said, is there something in particular you'd like me to address? Mr. Johnson was his name. And he said, yes, young man, tell me something I don't already know. So that was the kind of challenge. I mean, he was running the company 50 years and he was seeing this young Indian, you know, come into his office and ostensibly tell him what to do. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So it was a challenge. It was almost, I went back that night and I'm thinking, oh my God, what in this 1 week assignment, can I figure out and learn and then tell him something he doesn't already know about his company, which he has been running for 50 years. Mm-hmm. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
It was like, oh my God, you know, can I do it? So that is the challenge in consulting. They know what needs to be done. They just need to be told what needs to be done.
Yes.
It's not that they don't know. What would I know if you've been running a company for 50 years? How can I give you such valuable insight in a matter of a week or 10 days? It's very hard. So You have to find out. That's where you learn. So if you're consulting with hundreds of companies across the United States, and you have just a week to learn their business, to learn what's to understand, and then is that you have no time to think. You have to just absolutely apply yourself and find out. And you have to do it very gently. You can't be abrasive. You can't, with the people you're interviewing to discuss the problem, you have to make friends with them. You can't just walk in and say, okay, I'm the guru. I know what's going on. And you guys are, you know, so you have to get their confidence.
Right.
You have to make them tell you what they think is the problem or the solution. And then you say, okay, I get it.
Yes, sir. And you also had a business venture in solar energy and electrical vehicles. And at present, you are the director of Discover My Mind. So how did you enter into the field of emotional intelligence from solar energy or electrical vehicles?
Very interesting. Well, I spent many, many years both in solar energy, energy conservation, renewable energy, and then in electric vehicles. In fact, I still have interest in some companies in the U.S. that are still involved in this. But I was way ahead of my time. I was 20 years ahead of my time. And I came back to India not too long ago to try and apply those principles, that knowledge, that technology that I had learned and gained and knew. And unfortunately, and this was about 8 or 9 years ago when I returned to India, I said, I'm going to take this and I'm going to apply this and it's going to be great, right? So in the solar area, the Chinese were flooding India with cheap products.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the best product, the best solar lanterns, the best solar mobile phones and everything. Best product line, but it was top quality.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to market, there was the market was flooded with cheap imports that would last maybe only a few months, but they were cheap. And so people were, the first cost became the problem. People said, no, 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 I'd rather buy 10 of these over 2 years, 3 years, than buy one that will last, you know, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the problem. And electric vehicles at that time, petrol was not 100 rupees a liter. At that time, energy conservation, all these things, they were on the horizon, but not on everybody's mind. So I collaborated with one of the biggest companies in India to set up a plan to manufacture electric bicycles. But this was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And just never really caught the fancy. Today, as you know, in China, roughly half the bicycles are electric bicycles, mm-hmm. something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, Hero and some of the other companies are beginning to understand that for quick mobility, people are not be able to afford 100 rupees a liter anymore. At that time, it was 20 rupees a liter.
Mm-hmm.
So the offsetting cost benefit was, you know, okay, I'll take it or I'll leave it. Today, however, it's compelling.
Right.
At these gasoline prices and increasing. So today, both those technologies are very viable. Government mm-hmm. is supporting them and all power to them. But you asked a question, how did I go from there to intelligence? And the reason was after 4 or 5 years of doing that, I was not getting anywhere. I was not getting the satisfaction or the results of my knowledge and my desire to do something. So I started looking around saying, okay, now what else can I do? You know, I'm back in India. I came back permanently. And so somebody said, you know, there's this thing called emotional intelligence. Do you know anything about it? And I said, what is that? And that's what it fascinated me, intrigued me. And I said, this is amazing. This has to do something that I can give back. Emotional intelligence. If that makes a child more successful, if that makes a parent, you know, a better parent, if that improves the quality of life of people, then that's what something that I would like to give back. And so I started learning about it, started reading, started talking to people, experts, and so on. And the more I got into it, the more it fascinated me, the more it interested me.
Right.
So today I am written 3 books. I hope that they will get to market. They're on Kindle. And mm-hmm. end of the day, you can display the front cover.
Yes, sir. I have also read your book, That Complete Guide to Emotional Intelligence. I have read it and just taken all the notes from there. But then I found that each and every statement that you have said, each and every chapter was important. And in itself, it was a kind of encyclopedia of emotions and also how to manage them for everyone, whether he is a child or a parent, a teacher, a businessman, whichever field you are in. This is important for everyone. And also, it has been stated so clearly and precisely that it's kind of success formula for any individual.
Do you know something interesting?
Yes,
I have 16,000 connections on LinkedIn. 16,000. Okay. All eminent people. Do you know that 8,000 or roughly there are psychologists or psychiatrists?
Yes, sir.
What? And so I called them, I asked them, I said, why do you want to connect with me on LinkedIn? And why are you interested in emotional intelligence? And they said, Mr. Agarwal, this is a subject that we wanted to know about, was not in our curriculum while we had a PhD.
Hmm.
Are you serious? He said, yes. The knowledge we got is very clinical. Emotional intelligence is very key to our counseling that we do as psychotherapists. But we don't know about it. That is why we are joining your association, the Emotional Intelligence Alliance, which is on LinkedIn. That is why the video books. That is why we want to connect with you. I was surprised. I said, you should know all this. And I'm telling you, they don't.
So, like, how much did you take to complete the whole book? Because it's actually, as you said, that it has so much of information. It looks like it is so many life that you have observed, have you have seen, you have witnessed, and all the sort of researches that you have gathered. That is a long and a very tiring job. So I would just like to know, how much time did you take to complete this book?
It took over 1 year.
Okay.
And I did my writing from 12 midnight till 7 in the morning.
Okay.
Now you say, wow, why was that?
Hmm.
That time, it's quiet, it's peaceful,
mm-hmm.
and your mind is moving very fast, not distracted by phone calls or people or noise or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, my family used to come to me and say, it's 3 o'clock, go to bed. And I said, no, these thoughts that I am getting from somewhere in the world, I would pick a topic. I created my table of contents and then I said, okay, today I'm going to talk about fear, anger, empathy. And then I focused my mind on that topic and I started to go through my life and all the experiences and everything else to try and extract from my subconscious about the subject. And so that's how, when you develop it, and all of a sudden, middle of the night or even during the day, I'd say, stop it. I just got a thought on the subject. I would quickly go and get on my laptop and I'd hammer out that paragraph, because that thought never would come back to you. That thought is there for that moment and then it's gone.
So that's why you jot down at the same point, same time.
Yeah. And I tell you this, if you ask me to write that book again, I never could. Because so much water that was flowing under the bridge, you know. So many people you would meet, so much you would learn. I've been invited to so many people who want to do an interview with me on the subject.
Mm-hmm.
And they have channels on YouTube.
Yeah.
And have huge audiences and they're just loving it. I'm not making any money on it. But that's what I want to do. Because the biggest problem we have is education and awareness.
Yeah.
On emotional. People just don't know. You know, I go to a party or something and they say, oh, Mr. Agarwal, what are you doing these days? And I said, I'm working on emotional intelligence. And
they also take classes for that, for emotional intelligence.
I'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah.
So I said, they ask me, what do you do? And I said, I'm working on emotional intelligence. And they look at me and say, is that a new illness? Can nahi bimari hai kya? And I would say, care? Yes and no. Depends on the perspective. So yes, education awareness. And parents even, school counselors, educationists, psychotherapists, Today, it is the new elephant in the room, emotional intelligence, social emotional learning.
Yeah.
It is just in the very beginning phases. And within a couple of years, I mean, 2-3 years ago, hardly anybody was talking about it.
Right.
Today, all of a sudden, everybody is calling, everybody wants to know, everybody wants to book, everybody wants to see my website, which is discovermymind.com, and then take it from there. So I'm having a ball. I'm having such a great time, and it is so satisfying.
Yeah, you have mentioned in the book, your book, that how emotional intelligence can be worked upon at any age, at any time. Though when we talk about IQ, that is stationary. Like whatever you have, it will remain throughout the same. You cannot work on that. It cannot be improved. It remains the same. But intelligence, this emotional intelligence will help you to work with your IQ, to utilize your IQ. Because it's not that if you have this much IQ, you'll be utilizing the whole of your IQ.
No, I'd like to change that statement a little bit. Your EQ does not change your IQ.
Okay.
Your IQ
doesn't change.
It's a constant. You know, people say, well, I have a 6-year degree in medical or in psychiatry, so I must be smarter now than I was before. And I said, no. Your IQ is the same. You are as smart as you were born. You are as smart today. It is your EQ that develops. As you, it is your emotional quotient. People don't know that there are 9 intelligences that we possess.
Yeah.
To memory, logic. So there are 9 intelligences that everybody possesses.
Right.
You are strong in some intelligence. You're weak in another. Mm-hmm. So what emotional intelligence does, training and all these books and learning, is to strengthen that which you're really good at, mm-hmm. and then work on the weaknesses. Let's say you can't remember things. Your memory is weak. And memory is one of the intelligences. So there are programs to work on your memory, to improve your memory, so that it is not a weakness.
So are you too conducting such sort of programs to enhance the memory? And great.
I'm doing Zoom sessions.
Okay.
And people are signing up. And I'd welcome anybody that's interested.
I hope any listener who are interested to improve their memory or emotional quotient, they can reach up to you.
They can go to discovermymind.com and they'll have
Yes, sir. And sir, when we talk about your books, you have already written books like The Complete Guide to Emotional Intelligence, what we have talked about, Parenting with Emotional Intelligence, The Accidental Addict, The Power of Positive Thinking.
That is one book. The Accidental Addict and The Power of Positive Thinking is one book.
Okay, that is one book. In one book, you have written that.
And this, I found that all over the world, addiction is a very big problem.
Yeah.
Particularly in schools and colleges, they don't want to admit. They're in denial.
Yeah.
I've had so many vice chairmen and principals of schools.
Hmm.
And I said, you know what a big problem you have, addiction in your students. And I said, no. Hmm. Our school doesn't have any problem.
Yeah.
And I showed them students that were peddling drugs in class.
Right.
I showed them, you know, the bus driver is selling drugs on the bus. The local panwala is selling drug-laced candy. So drug addiction is a major problem, not just with students, but adults, with everybody.
Yes, sir.
Everybody has some addiction or the other. It's not drugs or alcohol. It could be eating, gambling, gaming.
Yeah, social media again today, which is the most common one.
Yeah, there you go. So basically, so I wrote this book on addiction first.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't go anywhere because everybody was in denial. Nobody wanted to admit that they had an addiction problem. The parent didn't want to admit the children had. The child didn't want to admit the parent had. Nobody wanted. So in all these speeches I would give, it would be rah, rah, excellent, wonderful, thank you. But nobody did anything. So I thought about it and I said, you know, why is everybody in denial? Because of the stigma, because of whatever. So I said, what is the root cause of addiction? It is emotions. Either you are, when you have depression, either you are an addict and you go into depression, or you're in depression and you become an addict to get out of depression. Now, yeah. watch this. So the cause of depression is emotions, thoughts, feelings, emotions turning into action and ultimately into depression.
Yeah.
Now, solution so far, everybody, all these psychiatrists, you know, is to give you prescription medication. But that's not the answer.
Right.
Because you get addicted to the very drug that is supposed to solve the problem.
Mm.
The problem is managing your emotions. All this anxiety, stress, tension, depression. Now, there are acute cases of depression which require medical.
Drugs would work better if the emotions are managed along with that. Like
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So then I started getting involved in emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
That's where the other two books came up. The first, The Complete Guide, people said, you know, parents really need your guidance.
Yes, sir.
So I wrote the second book, Keeping Parenting in Mind.
Yeah.
And so it's been a lot of fun, really.
I would definitely like to read the other book as well. First book I have already read.
Welcome. Let me know and I'll send
yes.
you.
Yes, yes. And sir, when we talk about like when you have written so much, when you are talking about so much of emotional intelligence or such sort of thing, you yourself have read or have witnessed it somewhere. That's the reason you are talking in with such depth or such sort of precision. So can you please tell me what kind of books you yourself read that has given you such sort of enlightenment that you are presenting in your writings?
You see, there are very few books on addiction or on emotional intelligence that I like. Most of the books are very clinical.
Okay.
I'm the guru, I'm the PhD, you're no good, and talking down to you. The way that I've written these books is from the bottom looking up, saying, I don't know anything, I want to know everything, and I want to get out of my mess. I want to get out of my troubles.
Yes, sir. So
the reason I wrote these books is because whatever was there, I didn't find it to be conducive. It was not user-friendly. It was not soft skills. It was like talking at you, you know, not talking to you. And so I said, okay, let's try and totally reverse the paradigm and write in a way that the person can relate to it and help them solve the problem rather than talk about the problem. Give solutions as to what to do.
Yes.
If I have stress, anxiety, or depression, what do I do to get out of it? Don't just discuss depression as an illness or whatever. Discuss it briefly, but then talk about how to get rid of it.
Yeah.
That's what I've tried to do. I'm not a licensed psychiatrist. But common sense sometimes works.
So when you talk about the obstacles or sort of problems you might have also faced, as you say, so whatever you have faced, what was the most like such sort of problem that you thought that it is the biggest obstacle? And how were you able to overcome that thing using your emotional intelligence or any such sort of person in your life, any other thing that has helped you to overcome your obstacle or problem?
Well, I really began to understand emotional intelligence much late in my life. My early years, I had several ventures in solar. You know, when I started the solar company, America was all for solar. Then Reagan became the president, Ronald Reagan. Hmm. He canceled the solar incentives. The industry died. I had such a huge solar business in America in the 80s. One stroke of the pen and it all these dealers of mine owing me thousands and thousands of dollars, they all declared bankruptcy. And I lost, and I was a grown man crying. So I mean, adversity like that can just destroy somebody.
Okay.
But I said, no. I said, I believe in it. Whatever you do in life, you must believe in it. Today, all the people that are in touch with me, they say, Mr. Agarwal, your passion about emotional intelligence is so great. We believe in you because you believe in what you're doing. And that is the key. Believe in what you do. And that is my, because if you don't, then the conviction isn't there either to yourself, or you can't convince anybody else what you're doing or what is the value proposition. So in answer to your question, you know, just get up, brush off the, you know, the dust or whatever, and just decide what you want to do. If you have the resources, do it. If not, just change. Find a new goal. Find a new calling. After the solar energy, I got involved in electric vehicles, electric motors, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Brushless technology, which is too complicated to explain. And the potential, even now today, everybody's talking about electric vehicles, whether it's bicycles or scooters or three-wheelers or four-wheelers. Now, there's a reason behind it. Of course, awareness about the environment and pollution and so on and so forth, and the cost of gasoline and so on and so forth. There's a fundamental reason. It is environmentally the right thing to do. So if you believe in that, you believe that electric vehicles or electric technology is a way to save the earth from the perils of
mm-hmm. Right, all the sort of pollution that we have.
Believe in it, then you will do whatever
right
comes to you to do to promote that belief, that concept, you know, because ultimately it will work out.
So I'm intrigued to know, sir, like what happened to that solar industry? Like it never worked later on, or this electrical vehicle?
For 20 years. And despite, let me explain to you. In the middle, there was the Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
Prices were through the roof. There was embargoes. There was this. There was that. Despite that, because the first cost of solar was still high, so people couldn't afford it. The efficiency of the solar panel used to be 15%, 10%, 12%. Now it's 25%. So the efficiency went up. The cost of the offsetting energy source, petroleum,
mm-hmm.
went to the roof. Yet it took a long time. Now today, this gentleman, Elon Musk, richest man in the world, he decided to do 5 years ago. He said, I'm going to solarize every household in America.
Right.
This is just recent. What his car, electric car venture and all the other space ventures are different. He's mm-hmm. made money, believe it or not, on solarizing all the houses in America. So it is now coming back after 22. I did my solar stint in 80s. That's almost mm-hmm. 40 years ago. Can you imagine? And today everybody's trying. They say, oh, you know so much about solar. Why don't you come consult with us? I said, that time is gone.
I've already contributed where I had to.
I've been there. I've done that.
Right.
Find somebody else. So anyway, hope I answered your question.
At least you can train them. At least you can give your suggestion if they come to you.
But there's so many hours in the day. Now, shall I do that? Or shall I
do that? Yeah, I do understand, sir.
You're
already busy into something else, what you're talking about. But your intelligence, what you're talking about, maybe whether you have got it from AI or what, that you have already thought about for 20 years ahead. Like that time, people didn't understand. And right now, Elon Musk is solarizing all the houses.
This is coming.
It's yeah. not
20 years ahead. Emotional intelligence is just a few years down the road.
Okay.
It's just a few years. And believe it or not, with everything about artificial intelligence being taught,
mm-hmm.
AI needs to incorporate AI in order to work.
Okay.
You see, ultimately, all these robots and all these machine learning and all that, they have to incorporate the basic concepts of emotional intelligence in order to be effective to humankind. See?
So in all this process, do you value money or what? Like a few people say that whatever values we are putting, it always has a price. And that's the reason most of the marketeers, most of the business coaches, they say that value yourself to that extent where everyone will be able to understand that how precious you are. So what do you consider about that thing, about our values? What kind of price a value should have?
No. You're talking about two different things. You're talking about values. And then you're talking about money.
Yeah. So people actually correlate these two things, stating that your value, which is precious, so it should have price. Some price. It should have some money. Like if you're talking about AI, So it should not be like a few people are there. If they are telling it is something so specific, it should have some high price so that the people should understand that what it is. If you're telling that AI free of cost, if you're telling AI in just 100 rupees or something I'm giving you, which is of no value, people don't consider it as something which is really valuable. So what is your call, your opinion on this thing?
It's a very, very important question. And it's very complicated. You see, when you go to buy something, you have to perceive a certain value in that thing. If you go to buy a shirt, you're going to go touch it, feel it, look at the design, look at the fabric. You will then say, okay, yes, this shirt for 1,000 rupees today is worth it. I'm getting the value for what I'm paying.
Yeah.
Therefore, I should buy this shirt or this pant or this dress, right? Because the value has proven itself.
Yes.
Based on emotional intelligence, the value is nebulous. There's nothing that you can put your finger on and say, oh, okay, this is what it means to me. Or this is the value or benefit I will get out of it. You only pay for something for the perceived benefit. See, if it's a car you're buying, then it's a perceived benefit. It's go from A to B. Then you decide whether you want to buy a Honda or a Rolls Royce. So in this case, because the lack of education awareness, people are not able to firmly pinpoint a value. For example, I do profiling and assessment of students and adults. It is your emotional Janam Patri.
Mm-hmm.
Tells you everything of what's going on in your mind. I price it at only at 1495, 1500 rupees.
Mm-hmm.
People say, you know, that's a lot of money. But that 1500 rupees will tell you more about yourself. If a parent wants to know if a child is unmanageable, what is going on in the child's mind? Don't pay 2000 rupees an hour to a psychiatrist. Hey.
Yeah.
Get a personal profiling and assessment, an EQ assessment done. It's a 20-page report. It tells you everything, all the multiple intelligences. Then you will know what kind of counseling the child needs. Right now, the parent doesn't know. So they just go first thing to a psychiatrist. You get prescription medication as the answer. Wrong. I'm totally against it. I'm sorry. I have so many people that are psychotherapists that respect me. But that's my view. And I'm very clear. Prescription medication should be a last resort. Clinic. There's so many other solutions. So going back to your question, I'm having so many people are calling me, schools, colleges. You know, we want to introduce a complete class on emotional intelligence. Not one, dozens. My phone doesn't stop ringing. You know, the new education policy, NEP, Government of India, the UGC, University Grants Commission, has just issued a ruling a week ago that every school, college, university in India must have at least one class in emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. This was just announced last week.
Wow.
And the new education policy says every school, college in India must have at least one trained and certified counselor.
So anyone who reads that book, no sir, he will claim that thing. Because I said that in every school institution, it should be there. And it is there. So that's really a blessing for the every individual.
Thank you. Thank you for the support. I really appreciate it. Because I don't have the resources to promote what I'm doing, what I believe in.
Yes, sir.
The book is on Kindle, Amazon Kindle. But I don't have the money to promote it. So by word of mouth, people like you.
No, people will understand what it is. Like when we are talking about values, that's why I asked that question. Everyone has different prospects, different thought about the same thing. So most of the people, most of the coaches and marketeers say that it should have value. And that's why we know that what your book is, it has a lot more value than it costs.
So, but they don't know.
Awareness should be there first.
Awareness, if it's there, then you will go buy the book.
Yeah.
If you're not aware of what it is all about, what is the subject matter?
Right.
This book, should I know? What is it going to do for me? See, life is based on one simple question. What's in it for me?
Yes, sir.
When I meet people, I put this on the... Don't talk about yourself. which you have. They want to know what's in it for them.
Yes, sir.
Keep this formula in mind in your life. You'll never go wrong.
Yes.
Always think what's in it for the other person. Not what you have. It's not my book. It's not my beliefs. It's not my values. It's what they want. Do better themselves, whether financially or emotionally or, you know, in whatever way. So yes. Always when you interact with people, always keep in mind what's in it for them. If you remember this, you'll be the most successful person you could be. I can see you.
So what is your source of inspiration, sir, that makes you feel stronger and then you think that you can just move ahead? As you said, that even you are not ready, like you don't have that much that you can promote your book like other people. You promote EI like the other things, but you are doing your job. And something within you is there, which might be giving you hope, which might be giving you some sort of strength. So what it is?
It's people like you.
Okay.
Because I see so many testimonials of people who have read the book, and there's excellent top-notch educationists and coaches and trainers and psychotherapists.
Yeah.
And they give such glowing feedback to my work. That is my inspiration.
Yes, sir.
There's nothing else. Money, if you chase money, you'll never get it.
Right.
It's there, it'll come to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
If people see what I'm doing is worthwhile, then they'll reach out to me. I'm just doing my best.
So if we talk about your dreams, actually, I don't want to get into all those dreams because we know that right now you want to see EI throughout, like everyone must know about it. So rather than indulging into that, we will get into some hypothetical situation where just imagine you have been provided with a magic wand in your hand. So what are you going to do with your magic wand? Like whether you are willing to go back to your past and then just like solar energy, which doesn't work, you are making it to work at that time, which took so much time. And either you want to get into future and do something, or like some social dogma or something that you want to change. What do you want to do with the magic wand that you have got?
My God. I'm a senior citizen. So I want to devote the rest of my life towards education, awareness on emotional intelligence. Now, if tomorrow my good work or my work reaches the Prime Minister of India and he gives me a phone call and says, hey, Mr. Agarwal, I'd like to say hello to you. And then maybe because of his good offices, people, you know, take notice. Say, what is this? What is this about? You know, what am I missing? What do I need to know? You know, my child is not talking, sleeping, eating. I don't know what to do. You know, the psychiatrist is taking thousands of rupees every visit, every week. And my child is still not doing to their potential. What do I do? Well, I tell you, Mr. and Mrs. Parent, please understand emotional intelligence.
And I do understand the emotion hidden behind what you are willing to do. And for that, no magic wand is required. As you said, people like us can talk about this thing. They can make others aware that how this emotional intelligence is going to help their family, their all the other kind of requirements, and they will be like what we are chasing throughout our life. It's all there within. And when we control our emotions, we can fetch it. Yes, of course, just one thing, as you said, that the Prime Minister should call you. But what I feel, sir, based on your values and the conversation that we had, anyone who reads your book will feel that, as you said, that all the psychologists and people have given you such sort of testimonials. Even I have gone through some of the testimonials and they all have said the same thing. So yes, of course, those who see it, they will be aware about this.
Don't embarrass me. Aap mujhe sharminda kar rahi hain. And I'm getting emotional. My point is this. If you have an anger problem, there's ways of anger management, which if you read and follow, then you won't do the things that you do, you know, when you get upset. So emotional intelligence, learning about your emotions, understanding them, recognizing them, managing them, and even utilizing them.
Right.
You see, emotions are something where if they're managed properly, you can sway somebody's opinion. You can convince somebody of something. It's all emotions. We are playing emotions every second of our lives. Everything we see, perceive, we eat, drink, sleep, hear, talk. It's all based on our... So the wonderful part of it is that people don't realize that all our emotions are in our subconscious.
Right.
They are not in our conscious. Our conscious is dealing only with automatic thoughts. You know, if you're driving, you drive. If you're eating, you eat. Whenever somebody says or does something, all your emotions that are in your subconscious come out to your conscious.
Right.
Then they make you do or say or not do, whatever it is. And then they go back into your subconscious. Mm-hmm. So it's all about your subconscious. It's all there in my book. Please read it.
So are you aware about NLP, like when we talk about neuro-linguistic planning, it is also similar kind of thing, which says that how to control your own emotions. And also, when you are able to control your emotions, you can have a control over other emotions. So that is what your book also says.
Yes, NLP is a little bit more clinical.
Yeah.
Okay, it's like the difference between psychometry and profiling and assessment. Is not the same as what we do. This is psychometry is more on the clinical side again.
Right.
It's on the clinical side. And it's all very useful and people benefit from it.
Right.
What I have tried to do is to simplify to the point where the, you know, people don't not understand what NLP is all about. You see what I'm saying? But they can read my book or read about him or go to YouTube. There are so many wonderful speeches on emotional intelligence on YouTube. So if you key in YouTube, you key in emotional intelligence, you'll find some of the world's best speakers on the subject right there, free.
Yes, sir.
If you're interested. So the main thing is if you're interested, get your interest. And the more you learn about it, the more you say, oh my gosh, where have I been? Well, how come I didn't think about this? You know, I could have managed my marriage, or I could manage my child, or I could manage myself or my career if I knew how to handle my emotions.
Right, sir.
Very simple.
Yeah, and very nicely you have elaborated that how NLP and emotional intelligence stand that, like they are the same thing, but there is a lot of difference in between them. One is clinical and one is like everyday uses, in everyday how we are going to use it.
Yeah.
And you have really simplified it. Now, at the end, I would request you to just, if I have already asked you so many things based on my understanding, based on my concepts. So whatever you think that I have not reached till now, what question I have not asked. So whatever I have missed, what are you going to ask to yourself?
Well, I think the important thing is people say, okay, fine. I've learned about emotional intelligence. How do I implement it?
Yeah.
You see, everything, all your deficiencies, all your weaknesses, all your strengths, you must have an answer to the problems. Somebody should be able to tell you, hey, look, if this is what you're facing, then this is a solution to it. Don't just talk about the problem.
Right.
About the solution.
Yeah.
Then only it works. Then only it's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've tried a little bit to do that, but yeah, if there are excellent authors on the subject overseas in the US, there are dear friends of mine, Daniel Goleman, and some other people, and who have their own viewpoint. You see, it's all a matter of perspective. I'm looking at the same thing. I'm giving you something to eat. Five different people. Somebody will say this is tasty. Somebody will say it's salty, somebody will say it's cold, somebody will say it's hot, somebody will say I like it, somebody will say I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's the same samosa that you gave to all those people, but their views on that samosa are totally different.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
So the same thing applies here. There are so many perspectives on emotional intelligence, starting from NLP, starting from psychometrics, starting from what I'm trying to do and others are trying to do. So you have to see what is the best fit for you.
Right.
you have to decide, okay, this I understand, I'm willing to work with, and I'm willing to implement. Then only it makes sense. Otherwise, just reading about it and not applying it isn't what is intended to be. Make use of this knowledge.
Yeah.
It is important.
And yeah, application, what we talk about. Application is more important than just learning anything.
The theory of it, fine. Yeah. About every aspect. Okay, what did you do to solve the problem?
Right.
Let me see. I don't know. I think. And you can't do everything in one book. Or, you know, my next book that is coming out, my third book on this, is taking it to that level of practical applications.
Okay.
I've discussed the subject. I've discussed the pros and cons of it. And now it's time to actually come up with the critical what to do, how to do, when to do it, where to do it, why to do it.
Yes.
Those answers and how to do it. So that's important. Other than that, it's just been a wonderful journey. I get up in the morning and I've been posting, something I should mention. Your readers should join this group called Emotional Intelligence Alliance. Emotional Intelligence Alliance. It's on LinkedIn. It's also on Facebook, but I'm promoting it on LinkedIn more. Within 3 months, I have almost 3,000 eminent EI experts across the world.
Wow.
Joined this group. And every day they post articles, videos, thoughts on emotional intelligence in this group, Emotional Intelligence Alliance. It's a group.
Yeah.
And I encourage people to join the group, share their knowledge, learn what they can from these experts. That is such a delight every morning, because I post every day, every morning, 10,000, 15,000 people from across the world.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you, are viewing my posts and commenting on it. And that's where I get my satisfaction. People saying, this is wonderful. Wow, thank you. Well, what else is there in life?
Right.
You share something and people appreciate it.
Yeah.
And you feel good.
And we all learn in collaboration. Like when we are with other people, we learn more.
And we learn.
Yeah.
And I learn from these other people every day. Yeah. I'm a neophyte, really.
Yeah. Who is learning throughout. That's great. So as we are going to end this session right now, and it was very like interesting session along with being enriching. And I hope that all the listeners have also enjoyed it. So now I would request you to share any three values and lessons for our listeners that you have learned in your life.
Key values. See, there's beliefs and there are values. I've got a chapter on beliefs and values.
Yes, sir.
I'll stick with the values. Basically, honesty is really where it's all at. If that is one value that you can apply to everything you do in life, day to day, just honesty. That's all. That's all it is. That's all I can say. There's hundreds of values, but honesty, it is the answer. And I can't stress it enough. Nothing more important than that. There is love, there is trust, but there's honesty. If you're honest, everything else in the world will come to you. If you're not honest, either with yourself or with others, everything you do is for naught and waste of time.
So true. Yes, honesty is the most important one. As you said, with yourself, that means with ourselves also, we need to be honest that what we are doing. Because as you said, like when you were talking about addiction, that denial mode, when the school principals and the others say, no, my school is all good, no one is addicted. Yeah. But we know it very well, what's going on,
right.
How the students are addicted to so many things even parents are not aware. So I learned all these things when I was doing this parenting coach expert. I was doing one certificate course in that. And there I learned that how that you said panwala and chaiwala, these people have such sort of drugs in candies or tea. And then they give it to the kids.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
The kid will go there because that that lollipop tastes the best. Why does it taste the best? Because it's laced with all kinds of drugs. That's why it tastes the best. That's why it gives the child that heart. हमको वही वाला लॉलीपॉप चाहिए.
या दैट्स व्हाई आई आल्सो केम टू नो, आई डिडंट नो अबाउट दिस थिंग, इवन आई वाज लाइक दीस थिंग्स डोंट एग्जिस्ट. एंड देन इट वाज सेड दैट समटाइम्स व्हेन यू से दैट आई वांट टू गो टू दैट चाय वाला ओनली. So, what is so specific about that chai wala that you only want to have that chai? There is something that you don't right. know, that some special ingredient they are talking about. There was one movie, I don't know whether you watch movies or not, Chicken Khurana, some movie was there.
I see.
So in that, he had some special ingredient in the chicken and no one else was able to make it. And right. then later they found out that he actually added some sort of
drug
in that. That's why it made it...
psychedelic.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, they say that Coca-Cola has caffeine as part of its formula. They've never been able to prove it. But people know that for 100 years, why Coca-Cola stays, nobody has been able to copy.
Yeah.
See, anything, you can do a clinical analysis in a lab and you can find out what the components are, right?
Right.
They've not been able to figure out the formula for Coca-Cola.
Right.
To this day.
And that's why people, even kids are getting addicted. And now the parents must note this thing. Like, my parents were really very much angry with this thing when we used to have such sort of things.
Right.
So, it is really very interesting. And I was talking about that denial mode, like how we deny sometimes. Like, I'm angry. No, I'm not angry. I'm sad. I'm not happy. No, I'm very happy. I don't, like, I have seen many kids. They are suffering from some emotions, some negative emotions, but they are at denial mode. No, I'm all okay. I'm naturally like this. So at first, that acceptance, that honesty is important.
These are all very interesting but deep subjects.
Yes, sir. It really needs a lot. As you said, that within 2 weeks, you cannot say that I have learned everything.
You cannot. But to me, this introspection, I call it introspection, introspection.
Yes, sir.
Knowing yourself and learning how to know others. You know, people, let me give you, I have one chapter on listening.
Yeah.
People hear, but they don't listen.
Right.
People Very eat, true. But they don't taste. People speak, but they don't say anything.
Right.
People touch, but they don't feel anything. All your senses, you see. People see, but they don't observe. The same thing I'm showing to somebody, and they're saying, okay. And the same thing another person. Oh, I see this and this, and I see this and this. It's what you observe. It's not what you're seeing. It's what you're observing.
Right.
You understand?
So based on this, I get one question. And it is not related to anything, but I have got this question when we are talking about listening. Because I am such sort of listener like who love to listen to the people, who love to learn from people. So what do you think? We should imbibe ourselves with whatever thing is there and then be a good listener? Or is it okay? It is natural to behave in such manner, to filter when we are listening.
Most people listen to just reply. How quickly? That means I know everything. I'm so smart. They haven't understood the question.
Right.
So how can the answer be appropriate?
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk to anybody? You ask them anything of any subject and they will answer within a second. They haven't given it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Who is asking? Why is he asking? What is the question? What is the right answer? People don't. People just reply quickly. Oh, you asked me something? See, I'm...
Kid is like some kids just to get the attention and tell that they... Yeah.
Adults, they have a ready answer for everything. And the answer is the wrong answer.
Right.
So listening is an art. Listening is an art. To learn right. to listen.
So I was asking filtering listening. Like, isn't it like we cannot listen to everything? Even if we talk about podcast channels. There are numerous, endless channels, so many speakers, great orators. But even like listening to all the orators or the speakers, you don't like. I don't know about you, but is it okay to not like someone?
Oh, absolutely. If someone's just talking nonsense, why should you listen to them? If you're not learning, if you're not understanding.
Yeah, that was my question. I got it somehow.
Something of value to you. Who cares who it is? It could be... You know, the Queen of England. I don't care.
Great. And that gives the answer to my question. Thank you so much. I feel blessed now with the conversation that I had with you right now. And I hope all the listeners who are going to listen to this, they are going to get a kind of so many things in just a platter. And they can, of course, visit to your website to know more about you. That is www.discovermymind.com. And there they can get numerous other things. They can also read your book, complete book of Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much.
It's been a delight. Thank you.
Yes, same here, sir.
Take care.